hours are always so short, Julie, and I appreciate you being with us this Saturday morning, along with the small houses. And you had mentioned earlier, Andy, just about the technology and farming, and I had a couple articles here that I wanted to, that I had just saved to talk about some of the technologies that are coming out. So water's obviously a big issue. We have a lot of water. It's just not all of it's usable. And you hear about desalination and ways to produce more fresh water. Well, there's a new startup out of Mississippi called Glanris, and it is a water filtration system made out of the biggest ag waste product, which is rice hulls. So all of the rice that's produced, my family are rice farmers in Louisiana, outside of a town called Lake Charles. From like Houston to Pensacola, you could throw a rock and hit one of my family members. And this use of the rice hulls, most of them are burned, but they take this and they turn it into a filtration system that's 20% more effective. It takes a third of the time, and it's 1/10 of the cost of carbon filters. Wow. And it removes what they call forever chemicals, PFAS. So it's taking something completely natural and filtering water back to its, you couldn't do that without agriculture.
And they are now talking that some of these desal plants or even these processing plants purify water a lot more economical to put together and start using. So I think it's a technology for ag that might be much more common maybe another decade or two from now.
And then there's another thing called solar arrays, which is mixing solar and agriculture, where they're putting up these big solar plants, and underneath it is where they are moving their sheep herds. So then they don't have to mow underneath it, and they put it on areas that don't need, like a lot of our Bermuda here, it needs sunlight to grow. Well, they've put underneath it plants that don't rely so much on sun to grow. So it feeds the sheep. You don't have to mow it, and it's kind of merged it, and they're growing this farm out of Colorado. He's actually, his 24 acres now has over 3,000 panels, and he grows tomatoes, squash, kale, and beans beneath these solar plants. So it's, it isn't on the back end of technology. It's actually the front end of technology.
Yeah, we have a lot of that renewable energy here in Arizona. More and more, especially every new dairy that's built has a methane digester to it, and a lot of our old dairies have built these methane digesters, so we actually have quite a bit of renewable energy being built and done here. I wanted to bring something up, Andy. You kind of mentioned it on the break. You were talking about for ranchers that can have smaller herds, you can have just talk about that a little bit. One of the neat things, it's almost like the craftsman that has a small craft shop. You're really creating some unique beef.
Yeah, I mean, I don't look at it as competing against Tyson or JBS or something. Like, we're trying to build a slaughterhouse, and I think some people take it wrong because they want to compete against the bigger packing houses and so forth. But we have something that they'll never do is, well, one is good. We think we have really good quality genetics, but it's also the aging process that affects the taste of the beef, and the naturally growing, not growing them on hormones, so they grow slower, and then aging them for 14 to 21 days. And with the pandemic, I almost every customer that has bought beef from me is a repeat customer, and then they tell their friends, so I think we have a niche market, and so I look at it as like a craft product that I don't think that we're really competing against the bigger
packing plants. So what's fun, I can sit down then and have that very specially crafted beef from the Carlink Ranch, and I can have my microbrew too.
Your craft beer and your craft beef.
Yeah. Craft beer and craft beef.
And to get that beef, I'm going to say, because you're not going to, but you go to carlinkranch.com and you click shop, and then you can select beef, because like Julie said, y'all have more things. You got the cactus and the mesquite wood products that people can also find there. But the one thing down here, slow grown flavor, and I wanted to elaborate just quickly on that. We do raise our own, and something that we have learned from our butcher is we won't harvest anything that's not 16 months old. And in fact, we like it even a little bit older than that. where a lot of these big producers, you know, their volume, they got to crank it out. They might be harvesting in 12 months. And there is something different. Everyone's like, this is the best. What do? Yep. You just let the animal live longer.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Thank you, Small Houses. This has been
a
great segment.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
Andy, Steph, Small House, and you can go to azfb.org, sign up for your Farm Bureau membership. It's only $60 a year. You support local agriculture. Julie, fillyourplate.org?
Yes, fillyourplate.org to find some of these bee producers like the Carlings.